You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. Here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation, NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, before I kick it over to you, I got one quick thing I want to talk about. We talk about it on this show all the time. Competitive toughness, mental toughness. We may have seen our quarterback show that off in one of the most bittersweet ways possibly imaginable. Unless you lived under a rock as an Eagles fan, you know that Carson Wentz went to the locker room and it is feared that he has torn an ACL. After that play, he got back into the huddle and he threw a touchdown pass. And that's something that you don't find on your little accuracy charts. You don't find in your air yards. You don't find in your yards per attempt. Put all that to the side. Carson Wentz is a tough... Excuse me for cursing. Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a very difficult way to feel. You know what I mean? I was telling Mike before the show, when Carson got injured, I was in such like coach mode. Like whenever I'm watching games, I'm constantly like, all right, like what do we got to do? Like what are we seeing schematically, like moving forward? Then when he got injured, I kind of just brushed off to the side, and I was watching with my folks. They were very confused as to why I was kind of like even keeled, and I was just talking, all right, like here's what we got to do with Foles. Defense got to step up. Now that the game's over, it's really starting to hit me. You know, what an awful injury, number one. You know, how terrible, how franchise-altering, how scary. But those four plays, I believe it was, or maybe it was three, where he stayed in. We obviously didn't know the extent to which he was hurt. It looked like he took a hard hit, got up a little bit gimpy, and then stayed into the game, right? But then you learn afterward that he goes to the locker room, he can't come back. But after that play, yeah, you know, two runs, but then Carson has two passing attempts. One goes incomplete to Alshon, and then the next one is that touchdown. And I wasn't sure if he was targeting Aguilar or Alshon on that touchdown. It looked like he was looking for Aguilar to me. But I unbelievable. And just what a joy. Like, what... You know, what a guy. Just what it's got to be so difficult for the people who root against him to root against him. I can't imagine being able to do it. It's so hard. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's insane to me.
All the prayers, every good hope, every good vibe goes out to Carson. Not slightly, of course, for this season. I can't say not at all for the season. Slightly for this season. Slightly for this playoff push. Obviously, you wish you could have been there to help, you know, bring that home, win the division on his back. But all the prayers out for him to just, you know, come back healthy and come back in good form at some point in his career, you know, and the hope is that everything's okay with him.
Yeah, and obviously Wentz is going to be the focal point of this show, but, you know, the actions that happened after Wentz went down as well. And again, competitive toughness, mental toughness, this team rallied, and Jake Elliott hits a big field goal. Chris Long gets a strip sack that's recovered by Rodney McLeod. Big time plays. I mean, this team just came out, and I'm proud of this team for the way that they dealt with this. Obviously, you know, they weren't being told that Wentz may have torn his ACL on the sideline, or maybe they were. I don't know. I wasn't there. But this team rallied in a situation where a lot of other teams would give up. And that's something that we consistently talk about here. So that's one of the messages that I want to convey, is just the toughness of this team is off the charts. And we'll see how that plays out, that emotional high play for Wentz kind of deal, because this team is Carson Wentz. I don't think there's any doubt about it. This team rallies around him. We'll see what happens moving forward with Nick Foles as the quarterback. We'll see what happens, you know, Monday morning. We're recording this after the game as the Sunday night game is going on. The fear is an ACL. We don't know for sure. Hopefully it's something lesser, but Aaron Andrews on the sideline reporting that the trainers were coming out of the room shaking their heads. I think they're just kind of delaying the inevitable. I don't know, man.
Yeah, so Peterson is not commenting, you know, waiting for the MRI on Monday, which is the correct call. Obviously, that's a good choice. Now, we know that Carson was carted out of the locker room. He got a knee brace on his left knee. Now, he came off the cart and he was walking. He wasn't using crutches. He, like, you know, went to, like, the little team buffet and, like, hopped on the team bus. He was walking, like, you know, slowly, gingerly, obviously, because he's hurt. So, not using crutches is interesting. That makes me a little bit curious. But yeah, you're taken out on the carp. So we'll see. It all comes down to the MRI Monday. I'm sure we'll have much more news on Tuesday. And then I think obviously the Tuesday pod will get a lot deeper into Nick Foles' performance here on Sunday. We'll get a lot deeper. You know, I very much intend on going back into some old Foles tape and seeing what's what. Obviously getting back into this game as well, getting into that all 22. I don't know about you, Mike. I was impressed by the way that Foles played. Eagles were running the ball pretty effectively. Jay Ajayi was running very, very well, and he hadn't gotten a lot of touches. Well, when the Eagles had that first drive after the Wentz injury and Foles comes out, there was a big cry for Foles to for Peterson to run the football. But Doug, and we talked about this in the Seattle game, getting a quarterback into a rhythm. Doug did an absolutely fantastic job, I think, of getting Foles out there, getting him into a rhythm, running the offense. He said in the post-game interview he wanted to stay aggressive with Foles out there. He didn't want to change the offense, and they did very, very well. That first drive, Foles goes 4-for-8, 41 yards, and they get 3 points. He took him all the way down to the 25-yard line. There was a 10-yard run by Ajayi as well, but it was 8 passes and then the 1 run. On that opening drive, and they go, they put up 3 to bring that game within 1, and then, you know, the ensuing field goal wins it. Obviously, you know, then the next drive, he was effective, you know, he completed 3 passes, he picked up that bad sack on 3rd down. The biggest issue was throwing short of the sticks on 3rd down. He was 0-for-3 on 3rd down conversions across his first 2 drives, and that's where Carson has really, really excelled. Carson is the 3rd down god, and then Nick Foles is, you know, just a mere mortal. But Foles, quick release. He was going through his progressions, getting to his checkdowns. He wasn't making bad plays. He had that 1 sack on quick pressure. But honestly, with the way the offensive line had been playing, I'm surprised he only took the 1 sack. You know, with Warmack or Sayomalo in at left guard after Wisniewski went down with an ankle, that was really dangerous stuff. He was throwing incredibly accurate footballs. That 3rd and 8 throw was huge. That was a division-winning throw, the 3rd and 8 throw on the final drive to Aguilar to pick up another 3 plays, to run the clock all the way down, eventually 1 second left by the time the Rams fielded the punt. That was such a pretty throw. Great velocity, great placement. Aguilar with a heck of a catch right at the sticks, great route. I mean, huge play, absolutely massive play. So I will say, yeah, you know, I very much understand why there was a call to run the football more. I was one of the primary guys calling for more Jay Ajayi to get touches. You know, Corey Clement ran it pretty well, but Blunt got a significant number of touches. Not a significant. I believe Blunt had 5 carries. But Ajayi only really had 10 before he was used to kind of milk the clock, which hurts his stats. You know, before he was milking the clock, he was 10 for 70. That's a 7-yard average, right? LeGarrette Blunt had 7 carries, right? I would love to see Ajayi cut into those numbers a little bit more because he's just simply more bursty. There's frustration with Doug for not calling more runs when Foles was in. Foles played just fine, and the Eagles came away with a W because Foles is a very effective, well-paid, good, starting experience backup quarterback. And that was excellent to see. So I don't know about you, but I was excited about what I saw from Nick.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough spot to be in for any quarterback. You know, those are things that teams like the Eagles can take and really use to energize them, because there's going to be a lot of talk that people are going to discount this team moving forward. Whether or not that's valid, we don't know. We'll see moving forward. But, you know, that's something that I don't think this team is going to take very lightly at all. I had one more negative from this game, really. And of course, this show will be permeated by the injury to Carson Wentz. But boy, Trey Burton. 5 catches, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. He really, really showed out in the absence of Zach Ertz, who was ruled inactive before the game. You feel great for the guy. You love having the guy on your team. I mean, does this really cement the Trey Burton will be shipping off to greener pastures and more money at the end of this season?
Yes, remember that. Burton did not listen to what I told him. Because what I said after the Ertz inactivity was revealed is, I said, all right, Burton's going to have a good game, but he cannot have a good enough game that he gets noticed by people. That's not allowed. Well. Yeah, so Burton decided to go for 2 tutties, which is not paying attention. That's
tough catches.
That was not the objective, Trey, and I don't appreciate that. I mean, it's been said by multiple people for years now, Trey Burton should be starting somewhere. And because his skill set is so similar to Zach Ertz, and because Brent Celek is so Eddie steady, you know, he hasn't really seen those reps. He will very likely be somewhere else next year, I'm afraid. Not because the Eagles won't make a push to sign him. They most certainly will. But I believe that a team will overpay for him, his potential, his athleticism, especially on what looks to be a weak tight end market in the 2018 free agency class. So cool that Burton's able to step up when Zach Ertz picks up his 3rd concussion since 2015, which is not good. But it's a shame that, you know, Burton might be on his way out looking forward into this year. I don't know. I kind of want to talk about the play call that led to the Carson injury for a second, because there was a lot of frustration saying, why aren't you calling a running play? You know, why are you throwing the football with Carson Wentz at the 3-yard line? When you have, and there's also frustration, I should say, about Carson Wentz diving headfirst for the goal line. When you have a 6'5", 230-pound insane athlete at the position, right? Mm-hmm. Who in the red zone up until this point, if you're including stats from the game up until that point, Carson was 39 for 60 in the red zone in the year with 23 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 1 sack, completing 65% of his passes. By far, like, that's a passer rating of like 120 or something like that. It's absurd. If insanely effective, the best quarterback in the NFL in the red zone, and you have the ball on the 3-yard line, they're going to roll Carson out on 1st down, give him the option to throw it or run it. Right. Every single time. That's a fantastic play call. It's exactly what you should do. That's number one. Number two, You cannot tell me that Carson should protect himself at the goal line. For a guy who is as much of a first out there leader, sort of rah-rah, you know, shish boom bah guy, Carson is not going to slide at the one ever. Carson would scoff in the faces of his quarterback if they told him at the goal line, you know, just get down, like, don't worry about it. That's the first and easiest way to lose the locker room, in my opinion. Like, you know, I could not be more upset that Carson has injured his ACL. But let me tell you, Carson, you could have told Carson Wentz, yo, you will injure your ACL on this play if you dive. And I think Carson probably still would have dove, right? This is the guy we're dealing with. We've known this from the beginning, right? Nobody gets upset when Carson does insane stuff on third down in the middle of the field against whatever team, right? Obviously, it's a lot easier to question it in hindsight after there's a huge injury to your franchise stud quarterback. We knew that was the dude we were drafting back when he was in North Dakota State. That's the way he plays. He is a physical, dangerous runner who absolutely could do a better job protecting himself outside of the five, but you can't tell your starting quarterback to protect himself with the goal line in sight, especially in a game like this. You know, if you're up by 25 against the Bears, it's a different story. But on this play, like, you know, he was perfectly justified doing what he did
in a very important game too. And look, I'll bring it back to the beginning of the game. We're driving down on our second drive, the screen to Clement for 28 yards on that little end around play action leak out. And then the Ogletree pass interference on Celek on a double China concept that included a seam / post route, which was beautiful, which again, playing off a traditional play concepts, kind of like we did with the spot concept a couple weeks ago. Then we get second and goal. Is anyone complaining on second and goal that we ran a spacing concept where we leaked Celek out to the flats and Carson Wentz threw a touchdown? Right. Is anyone complaining about that play call?
Right.
No, because Carson Wentz is magic in the red zone and you put the ball in your best player's hands. That's why we got stuffed on first down on a freaking run. No one is complaining about that. So to put it on Doug Peterson, that's insane. That's okay. If you want to run all the time inside the 5 yard line in the red zone, go ahead. Take the ball out of your best player's hands. That's nonsense. Right. It's an unfortunate situation. And you can try to make sense of it by saying, oh, well, he shouldn't be put in that spot. That's garbage. Carson Wentz is a competitive football player. That's one of the downsides that you get with it. He exposes himself to shots. If you don't want that type of quarterback, you don't want Carson Wentz. And then I don't want to deal with you as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Period. Done.
Right. Absolutely. That, you know, and could they have certainly scored running the football? Yes, probably. And I will absolutely hear that Ajayi should have got more touches. I think in every single game that Ajayi has been here in Philadelphia, he should have gotten more touches. I think that it was particularly noticeable in a LA Rams game where Blunt wasn't running very well and the Eagles were throwing the ball a lot, but Ajayi has always been getting a low number of touches for his talent level, in my opinion. Also, I'll hear that for sure. I'll hear, you know, they could have scored with a running game. Yeah, they could have, but I'm perfectly fine with a play call when you got a guy like Carson Wentz. Those things said, I came away from this game, and I know other people disagree, and I would love to hear why. I came away from this game so impressed with Doug Peterson. His starting quarterback went down in Los Angeles against a team, you know, a huge game with the division on the line after the Vikings had lost. And when Carson went down in the three ensuing offensive drives, the Eagles picked up 6 points in a 4-point game. The Eagles then also, they gave up that touchdown originally, you know, immediately after the Carson Wentz injury. And then following that, they had a huge stand when they were up by one. They forced a punt and then, oh, they got the fumble and then they got the punt. Right? It was a fantastically coached game by Peterson throughout, in my opinion. The Rams had a turnover on the first possession, then scored 7, and then after that, they were struggling in the first half. Then, they come out in the third quarter, and we knew they were the best third quarter team. They drive down, excellent drive, attacking all the weaknesses of the Philadelphia defense they had seen, all of the screens, the delayed running plays to let the Eagles' front get upfield, right? A lot of horizontal stressors to force that injured linebacker core. McVay called a beautiful game, and, like, you know, I said at halftime, this is what I expect McVay to come out with, and it's exactly that with which he came out. It's exactly how he did it, right?
Yep.
They go, they score, and then they get the block punt, they put up a quick 14, right? Of the Rams' 35 points, 21 points came immediately after a half or the beginning of the game, and 14 of those 21 came off of turnovers. Besides that, if you take away those, which obviously, like, this is very selective, but saying, like, if McVay wasn't coming out of the half or coming out of, you know, the beginning of the game, he wasn't out-coaching Peterson. He couldn't do it. Right, yeah. Peterson ran the table with him if it wasn't the first drive of a half. And that, to me, like, you know, I was so impressed by the way Peterson called this entire game. It was fantastic.
Yeah, they got the unfortunate tip in their first drive that led to that touchdown. They also got a special teams touchdown, which we talked about. I thought there would be a special teams touchdown. The Rams are really good on special teams. They ended up getting a block. They almost had a block before that, too. And if we didn't have a left-footed putter,
Donnie,
it would have been two blocks. Yeah, they get that going for them. But yeah, other than that, I mean, you called it in the beginning, too. And I said it was going to be a high-scoring game as well. The Eagles came out and blew the doors off things once the game started getting going. And, you know, the over was the good pick on this one because this was definitely a shootout. Alshon Jeffrey, Tremaine Johnson, good battle.
Yeah.
Good battle. And I thought there were three or four passes that Alshon should have caught that he did not catch. They're the catches that he's been making recently, wasn't making before that. Frustrating to see him not make those. And then he gets bailed out by a personal foul by Tremaine Johnson, who was talking smack or whatever right. It was. Either way, I think it's soft. I don't think there's anything that you can say that can really... allow the refs to interject themselves in the game like that. But either way, the drive's extended, and then Alshon bails himself out with a crazy fingertip catch on that Carson Wentz throw after he had injured himself. So he makes up for it there. I thought it was a fun battle all throughout the game.
Yeah. Alshon, well, there was one play that was, it was the touchdown catch that was incredible. The hand strength on that is just silly mobility, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, insane.
The drop before the taunting penalty nearly was a killer, right? That was a perfect ball by Carson, who, by the way, Carson on the day, 23 of 41, I believe, were the final numbers for Carson. 291 yards, 100 passer rating, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. I would say it was his best game before he got injured. I would say that his pocket movement was far better. It was better, just plain better, than we've usually seen it. Just, you know, I'm talking subtle moves while keeping his eyes up. You know, he was dropping back and then immediately pressure off of his left side constantly. And he was doing a great job climbing, great job throwing on the run, on the move. His arm strength is unbelievable. That second touchdown to Trey Burton, that ball was on a frozen rope to a corner. I believe it was about 10 yards, I think it was. Either way, so like, you know, that's maybe what, 15, 17 air yards in a spot only Burton could get it, face mask or higher. It was gorgeous. He was making ridiculous throws left and right, man. Absolutely fantastic game for Carson Wentz. Really only missed one big one. There was that one to Alshon that he sailed a little bit. Besides that, he was on point for the entire game. Yep. There was another one he sailed, I think. But either way, fantastic game for Carson. Very, very impressive. The thing that I'm very interested in hearing about in the aftermath of this game is the commentary on the Aaron Donald, or it wasn't called Aaron Donald, but on the penalty of the Jake Elliott field goal, which ended up not particularly mattering. It actually ended up hurting the Rams. Yeah. Because they didn't have as much time. They got the ball left with 1 second. Right. They would have had about 60, maybe 80 seconds. I don't know how much time that sequence took. Very interesting, because you can't launch. Obviously, you can't use a blocker as leverage. It looked to me as if Aaron Donald attempted to use Brooks as leverage and failed.
Right.
The thing is, like, riddling out that penalty is so difficult because there are very unique penalty calls on field goal attempts. Right, as far as what you can do with the people around the holders, they've been changing. I'm not up to date on them. I haven't seen any commentary on that. Mike Pereira said he didn't really know what was happening. I would love to hear what the officiating crew said. That turned out to be a big penalty. If you know if that's an egregious miss, like, you know, that really sucks for Rams fans, because that did swing things as far as time goes. You know, it didn't really change the result of the drive as far as 3 points or 7 points. So that's the one penalty I'm the most interested in hearing about. The Tremaine Johnson one, he was talking some smack. He clearly said something he wasn't supposed to say. Like, people are like, oh, that's a bad call. You can't tell what Tremaine Johnson may have just said, like, the most unholy thing on the face of the planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, Ben, that's where I differ. I don't think there's anything you can say on a football field that is that bad that it deserves a penalty flag without making physical contact. And, you know,
You think so?
Maybe that's the difference between... Yeah, I agree. I mean, what can you say? What can you really say? What hurts that bad?
I mean...
These are grown men on a football field.
I don't know. I mean, you get in a guy's face mask and you say something about his mother. I don't know. I just, that, to me, you shouldn't be able to do that. That's not very kind. His mother's not playing.
We definitely differ on that. Okay. So Brandon Graham gets the touchdown to close the game out. The Eagles cover. Los Angeles loses its buns on this game after that. Or a bunch of people lost money on that crazy touchdown at the end of the game. Let's kick it over to the... Three words, the game in three words for at Locked On Eagles. Hit me with some of the three-word reactions from some of our Eagles followers on Twitter about this game.
The most favorited one, so we'll start there, goes out to Patrick M. Cossey. Patrick is one of the dudes. He's one of the best on
great
Eagles.
Follow.
Twitter, great guy. Just responds with, kill me now, which is reasonable. That is a proportionate reaction. We should shout out Brooks Stevens, because Brooks hit us up before we even hit the tweet. He asked both of us. He says, hashtag three words, oh my goodness. And yes, Brooks, that would be correct. Mark Schofield, friend of the podcast, notable Carson Wentz stan. Mark's two babies, Deshaun and Carson have both gone down this season. I feel so bad for him.
It's insane.
But he says Hyde Kissed's vodka, which give it...
Well, can you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that over the mic, but that is Mike Kissed vodka, and Mike Kissed is getting a blackout drunk
tonight.
I'm going
to say, we're doing so far so good on the podcast as far as Mike staying sober, so that's very nice.
I had to take care of the baby. It's going to get crazy.
Zach Allen at Zach_Allen17 says, have my ACL, which we appreciate greatly, Zach. We do not know yet it's an ACL, but we will take yours gladly for Carson. Ryan Douse as well, at Ryan89101101, also says, need leg donations. Matt Wilcox, at Matty Will, says, take my entire body. He says, take my body, which I don't know. That could either be, like, just, like, take me, like kill me, or that could be, I'll give Carson a spare of every part he needs. Right, just put all of me on ice, and then whatever he injures, you can have it. So I like the bidirectionality of that one. That one makes me happy.
Yeah.
And then Sam Gossie, this is a good one. Sam Gossie says, life is meaningless. So we got some more solid despair. But here's the important one that I like, that I think is that I think sums things up for me. Knott's Juventino, at Knott's Juventino, says, a glorious tragedy. Which is very accurate, in my opinion. The Eagles have won the NFC East, and they have secured a playoff berth. That is fantastic. Coming into the season, playoff berth was my, like, expectation for Philadelphia. It was my ceiling. Like, all right, this team, if everything comes together, they should be able to make the playoffs. And they have, by week 14. Week 14, which is fantastic. Obviously, that's the good part. The Eagles are right now currently in control for the number one seed in the NFC. Remaining on their schedule, they have Oakland, Dallas, and the Giants. In the event that they can win just two of those three games against three very beatable teams, the Eagles will lock up the number one seed. They're currently one game ahead of the Minnesota Vikings, who are 10-3 in the NFL. Because the Eagles hold the better record against common opponents after the Vikings lost to Carolina on Sunday, all the Eagles need to do is win two of their three remaining games and they have home field advantage locked up. That is a huge advantage, in my opinion, to a team that overall, under Peterson and Wentz, is 6-9 on the road. They're not the greatest road team. This is great news, right? This is absolutely fantastic. So two of the next three, if they can win with Nick Foles, assuming that he needs to be in for those games, the Eagles locked up the number one seed. So that's the glorious part. Tragedy isn't as hard to explain. This will be a game that's remembered in Philadelphia for a while. Winning the NFC East, losing Carson Wentz, just heartbreaks in two different directions. Just so difficult, man. That's the game in three words for you, Mike.
So if Carson Wentz is out for a while, hopefully not, holding out hope, and if you're hearing this after the news, then again, we apologize. We're recording Sunday night. I really only got one more solid opportunity to call out Kyan Fahey. Oh,
never can you forego an opportunity, can you, Michael?
Absolutely. So someone tweeted at him, Kyan, care to explain how Aikman calls that a quote-unquote perfect throw on the touchdown to Burton? That looked a egregiously underthrown / behind again. Kyan, calling games live is difficult, and it's always safer to go positive than negative. Let me tell you something about that throw. That's a deep crossing route, and you're working over the linebacker, and you've got a guy trailing you. Carson Wentz sees the back of Alec Ogletree's head. If you're a quarterback, and you see the back of a linebacker's head, you throw it to the back of his head. You don't throw it ahead of him to where Ogletree can turn and find it. The whole point of that throw is that the linebacker can't see it coming and can't make a play, and at the very least, you get a pass interference call on it. So to call that throw underthrown or behind when it was exactly where it needed to be, once again, Kyan Fahey, stop protecting your terrible, terrible Carson Wentz takes. Own up to it. And I just, here's the thing, Ben. How can you say Carson Wentz is not an NFL quarterback, as he said coming into the NFL? How could you stick with that take to this point?
It's amazing.
It's insane to me. It's insane to me. Delete your account. Delete your Twitter account. Delete most of your life. You can have the basic stuff. You can go to the store, get cigarettes or whatever you need to do. Stop talking about football. I don't care if you're on terrible, terrible ESPN on Sports Nation because they could get you on the cheap after they fired half of their freaking squad. Anyway, okay. Ben. Look, we got a long week ahead, and there's a lot to talk about. We're going to dig into this game a little bit more as far as some of the other aspects that are not Carson Wentz related. We tried a little bit here today, but obviously the news is so pertinent that we had to talk about it a lot.
Are we giving out game balls, Mike?
I couldn't even... Give it to Carson Wentz. Yeah. Give mine to Carson Wentz. I don't care. I mean, four touchdowns. I don't care if he exited early. Four touchdowns. The guy was amazing. The guy was 100%. Absolutely majestic when he was in there. Who else would you give the game
ball
to?
Yeah, the man broke the single season record for Eagles passing touchdowns. I was about to say, and he has three games left, but he may or may not, which is awful. But game ball has to go to Carson. Absolutely, I would 100% agree, especially after the performance he put out. As always, if you're going to give it to a not Carson, mine's going to, Chris Long with that huge play. Very tempting. All the edge rushers, I think, influenced the game really well. But I'm going to give it to Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox caused a lot of problems.
Early, yeah.
And it's not necessarily going to show up in the stat sheet. I don't think Fletcher Cox, had like a sack or anything like that. But consistent upfield pressure. And you know what? You could even flip it and make a case, in my opinion, for a game ball going to Jason Kelce. Because with a rotating door at left guard between Wisniewski, Sayumalo, and Warmack, Kelce did a fantastic job holding down Aaron Donald, who really did not have that impactful of a game, especially when you consider the weakness at left guard, right? Aaron Donald, 2 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 3 quarterback hits. For Donald, honestly, that's not that impressive of a game, and it could have been a lot worse.
I'll take that, yeah.
And so I'm gonna give it to Kelce. That's gonna be my guy.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the eventual news about Carson Wentz. We should be informed about it early on Monday, and the aftermath of all of that. Ben is gonna take a look at some Nick Foles tape, I'm sure, because he is a good soldier and is optimistic, and I love that about him. I, on the other hand, am about to go get blackout drunk. That's the way of the world. That's where I'm at right now. Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
No good call, man. There isn't one.
Yeah. No, there shouldn't be. I agree.